Thank you. Oh. Amen. Mama got it. Thank you. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all see this contraption I have right here? Be patient because we're trying to get it. I know I heard it a little bit, but we've been having it for a few weeks, and Joe is just trying to get things situated. It frees me from having the lapel because, you know, it goes in and out, you know, and because your head's doing all kinds of stuff. But so please be patient with that. Also, I want to thank everyone here. Thank you for last week. Thank you. I mean, it was a huge success. Thank everybody that brought the food. Thank everybody, Steve, for cooking the food. Everybody for cleaning. And most of all, I want to thank everybody for eating the food. That's no problem, huh? But it was great. I tell you, you know, Jelaine and I, we talked about it all week, you know, just how grateful we were. Lord, thank you. You know, we had, and I know numbers is not success. That's not, but I like to let you know, because as we pray and seek the Lord, God will bring the people that we need. Over 60 people last week. I mean, praise God. Now you might, and we had 40 or so people, maybe a little bit more than that, of our home people, and about 15 to 20 visitors. You know, we had family that came visit and stuff for that day. And so, you know, we were so grateful for all that God has given to us. And we look forward to what He's going to do. You know, and what He's going to do in your life and in your heart as He blesses you and moves upon you and shows you things in the Word of God. And He's going to put you in places that you never thought you'd be.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Just seeing the power in the presence of God. But Jelaine and I, we want to thank you. And we appreciate all that you have done for making it a success. Also, it's good to have our newest member here, Isabella Jo East. So, Jess, would you stand just for a minute? I might just go and take her, and I can preach with her, you know. Oh, I tell you, we are so excited about Isabella, or we call her Ella, but we're so excited with her. You may be seated. And just to have her home out of the hospital, and thank you for your prayers. And thank you for your concern. I tell you, we certainly do appreciate that. Certainly do appreciate that. We do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. Let's see, I'm trying to look. Okay. 2 weeks ago, because we didn't put it in last week because we were having all kind of people here. 2 weeks ago, we picked up on the 26th, $777.60. And then last week, June 2nd for the anniversary, we picked up $1,377.66. So we want to thank you for that. And we appreciate your giving to the church and entrusting us with your money. Look at what God has given unto you. And I see here an anniversary, a June anniversary on the 29th, Leonard and Gail Smith. Now, Miss Gail, you can confess it all. He's not here. You can confess it all. That's not right. He's not here to defend himself. But that's okay. Next week, yeah, he's teaching or preaching in, with the Gideons and stuff. They go from church to church. But it's there. How many years y'all been married? 17, going to be 17 years on the 29th. Congratulations, congratulations. Amen, amen. Oh, I tell you. Praise God. I want you to turn, as we get into God's Word this morning, turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Before we get into the scripture, there were some pastors, and I know I related this story, but that's okay. We'll tell it again. There was a pastors that were having a pastors conference meeting, and they decided to go swimming because they had a lake and stuff next to where the conference was. So a bunch of pastors, they went out there, they started swimming. You know, and just like anybody, everybody tries to outdo everybody, you know. And so one guy got too far out, and he started to drown. And so there was an expert swimmer that was one of the pastors. And so when they started to see him drowning, you know, they looked to him to go and save this guy. But you know what? He didn't go. He just stood there on the shore waiting. And the guy that was, you know, about to go under and about to go under again and again and again was about to drown. And so finally, when the guy went under for the last time, it says that that pastor dove in that water, swam to him, and brought him on shore. And they looked at that pastor and said, "Well, why did you wait so long?" And the pastor looked at them and said, "I had to wait till all his strength was gone before getting him. Because if I would have dove in and got him when he still had a lot of strength, he would have drowned both of us." That's just like God. He waits till our strength is gone. Then he comes and saves us. You know, God has plans for everybody. God has plans for all of us, doing mighty works in our hearts and in our lives, taking things out, you know, putting the good in, His Word, His Spirit, His anointing. But He has to wait till all our strength is gone, that when we are trying to do everything, then He comes in with His Holy Spirit and helps us, to accomplish what He wants in our hearts and in our lives. In John chapter 21, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, look, starting at verse 1, it says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias," or the Sea of Galilee, "and on this wise showed he himself." Verse 2. "And there were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto him, 'I go a fishing.' And they say unto him, 'We also go with you.' And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing." Verse 4. "And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto him, 'Children, have you any meat?' And they answered him, 'No.' And he said unto them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find.' They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciples whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish." Verse 9, "And soon then they come to land. They saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread." Verse 10, "Jesus said unto them, 'Bring of the fish which you have now caught.' Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fish, 153. And for all there was so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto him, 'Come and dine.' And none of the disciples did ask him, 'Who are you?' knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then comes and takes bread and gives them, and fish likewise." Verse 14, "And this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead." Here we see in John chapter 21, a great story. And when I say a great story, you know, I hate to kind of say it that way, because sometimes we think of a story, it may not be true. This is truth. A great event that took place with the disciples and Jesus. A great event that happened. And here we see, it says in verse 1 that they went to the Sea of Tiberias. Or, in other words, it was called the Sea of Galilee. And it got its name from the city of Tiberias, which was near that place, which was located on the western shore and had been founded by Herod Antipas and named in honor of the emperor Tiberius. It says in verse 2 that not all 11 disciples were at that sea, the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias. Only 7 or so was there. There was Peter, there was Thomas, there was Nathanael, there were the sons of Zebedee, who were they? James and John. And there was 2 other ones. Now the 2 other ones, some seem to think that it may have been Philip and Andrew. And the only scenario that they can go by that it might be them is because they love Peter so much. And they were always with Peter. And they love the sons of Zebedee, James and John. And they were always together. So they're thinking that the other 2 might have been them. Now, why they didn't name them, I don't know. God knows what we need and what we don't need. But all 7 of them were at the place where they were fishing. Now, there's something that needs to be said here. That's not where Jesus told them to go. Honestly, if you want to say it another way, they were kind of in hot water. Because in Matthew, can you bring up that scripture? Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, it says this. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. There was a mountain there that Jesus had told them to go and wait for him. But in verse 3 of John chapter 21, it says that here they are waiting, whatever the mountain is, whatever that is, and all of a sudden, Peter gets up. Because you can look at verse 3 of John chapter 21. You can bring that scripture up, Andrew, or Joe, whoever's running the scriptures. I don't know one of them. But in verse, it said, Simon Peter said unto them, I am going fishing, or I go a-fishing. They said to him, we also will go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now keep that scripture up there. Jesus told them in Matthew 28 to go to Galilee to a certain mountain, and here they are waiting. Now sometimes we don't understand the things that God tells us. Why he tells us to wait. Why he tells us to quit things. Why he tells us to do things. But Jesus told all 11 of them, wasn't 12 at that time, to go to that mountain and stay there and wait. Now, Simon Peter had the bright idea, I'm going to go fishing. Now, we have to understand this, that also that Simon Peter just didn't say, let's go fishing, just to go fishing. There was a reason why. Peter had a family. Peter had a wife. Peter had children. Because he talks about his mother-in-law. Philip had a family. And quite a few other disciples had a family. They needed to be supplied for. And so they took it into their own hands that they were going to go fishing. See, who goes fishing all night just to fish, though? You have to really love fishing just to go fish all night. It says that they fished all night and caught nothing. Can you imagine? Zilch. Zero. But they were fishing and doing things that God told them not to do at that time. They were supposed to stay, according to Matthew, on that mount, wherever it was, in Galilee, and stay there and wait for him. But Peter said, let's go. And six of the other guys followed him. He had a lot of influence. And they went fishing. Now, it's a very honorable thing. I'm looking at the scripture and saying, Lord, it's very honorable that Peter and all the other guys, all seven of them, wanted to supply for their families. That's honorable. God says to work. If you don't work, you don't eat. God says to supply for your family. But you have to understand, God called these guys, yes, they were fishers. But God had brought them out of that to be fishers of what? Men. To be fishers of men. And so they were at a place where they shouldn't be anymore. I'm going to turn this one off, guys. I'm getting kind of cold. Yeah. It's better than being hot. Thank you, Lord, for heat and air conditioning. But they were at a place where God didn't commission them to go. Can you imagine? But God still had mercy and grace. God still, Jesus had mercy and grace. Here they were, fishing. Can you imagine all night, throwing a net, trolling basically, getting it into the boat, and not one single fish? Not one. When we do the things of God and it's commissioned by God, there's fruit. When it's commissioned by man, there's no fruit. And here they were throwing that net to the side. Throwing that net to the side. And can you imagine when it got to be around 2 o'clock or so at night and they were pulling it in, tarred, saying, weighing upon their lives is that I need money for my family. I need food for my family. And yet there was nothing in those nets. Not one single fish in it. They kept doing it over and over and over and over and over, and nothing was in there. Because you see, they would take that fish and they would probably keep some of it and eat it, but also they would sell it to gain money, to be able to buy and pay for the things that needed to be paid for their families. That's what they did in life. But God had called them out of that. There's nothing wrong with it. God had called them out of it, and now they were supposed to be fishers of men, catching men and women for the kingdom of God and sharing the gospel from now on. They were in a place where God didn't want them to be. Honestly, and we've all been there, they were just disobedient. They were just disobedient. And we've all been there. Where we've been in places and done things that we know was disobedient to His word, disobedient to Him, and was not right. You know, David, King David, probably lived the highest of highs, but yet he hit the lowest of lows. He even calls Jesus the Son of David. But yet David, we know all the things he did, adultery and killings and all that stuff. But look what God can do. Look what God can do. It says that as they fished, they tried to get the fish and there was nothing. 5 o'clock comes around, zero in that boat. 6 o'clock comes around, zero in the boat. All of a sudden, because of God's mercy and God's grace, He comes on the scene. And they're fishing. And they see somebody on the shore. And you know, I don't know what was going on in the minds of the disciples, those seven. I don't know what was going on. But as they were fishing, they caught nothing. But as day was breaking and the sunlight started to shine on the shore, The things were coming alive for the next day. It says they see a man on the shore. And you know, you can read the scripture. They don't know it's Jesus at first. He looks normal, like a normal man, just on the shore. And they look to him and they're not sure who that is. And he calls out to them and he says, "Do you have any fish? Or do you have any meat?" And I'm sure as they're sitting in their boats with shame because they can't provide for their families, they kind of put their heads down and say, "No, no." And I don't know if Jesus had to holler it out more than once. It doesn't say. But I'm sure they weren't so proud of saying, "No, we don't have any fish. No, we've been out here all night fishing, casting on the left and on the right of this boat, and there's no fish in this place." And finally, they recognize who it is. Scripture, they tend to think it might have been John that recognized him. And Jesus looks at them and says, "Guys, trust me. People, trust him. Trust him." The Holy Spirit is speaking things to your heart. Trust him. Just trust him. You might say, "Pastor, I can't see tomorrow." I understand. Trust him for today. Just trust him. Just trust him. I think of the time when we were traveling the first night to come to the to start this church. My God. It was rough, y'all. But we did it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Trust him. And to see where we are today in him. Not because of us. Because honestly, he could use anybody, whoever wants to be used. But he chose us. Trust him. And he calls out saying, "Look, you have no fish. Cast your net one more time on the right side." And they look at him. And I don't know what's going on in the conversation of all seven of these guys. But I'm sure there was some doubt there. But when they started to figure out that this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, something rose up on the inside of them. And they said, "What do we have to lose? What do we have to lose?" And they took their nets and they threw it out on the right side of the boat in obedience to the Father. In obedience to the Father through the Son. And it says that when they went to take the nets in, that there were so many fish that they needed help and they had to call for help to come and bring the nets in. Obedience always yields the presence of God, the anointing of God, and the favor of God. Obedience to the Father yields the presence of God, the anointing of God, and the love of God in our lives. They obeyed. And in obeying what Jesus said, there were so many fish that they needed help and they drew it in. They drew it in. And as they came in, Jesus had fish cooking for them and some bread made for them. That's how Jesus takes care of us. That's how the Father will take care of us. It doesn't mention that, it doesn't say anything about why they left without the Father's approval on the mount, wherever it was in Galilee, and came to fish. But Jesus overlooked their disobedience, forgave them, and blessed them. Jesus overlooked their disobedience, forgave them, and blessed them. That's the kind of God you and I serve. That will overlook our disobedience. Not that He approves of it. That's not what I'm saying. He overlooks it when we ask for forgiveness. And the blood is applied to those things that we have disobeyed the Father with. He overlooks it, and His grace and His mercy and His love is poured out to him. God took care of the disciples' families, their wives, their children, and even their personal themselves. They took that fish, they probably ate some, brought some home, did whatever, and sold the rest. And it says that the fish were huge, were big, bigger than normal. That's how God is. When He blesses His people, it's not a normal blessing that man can give. But when God blesses the people, it's over and above what we ever could imagine. Our God is a supplier of our financial needs. He will meet the needs in our homes. He will meet the needs in our lives if we allow Him to and give it unto Him. Obedience to the Father. Obedience to what He has, what He wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. Financially, God will bless us and use you as an individual. You know, the same lake or the Sea of Galilee, the same place where they threw in that net and caught nothing is the place where they got all those fish. It's an amazing event that God or Jesus made them count them. There was exactly 153. Because you know why? They weren't fishers of men anymore. They were fishers of souls. And every soul is important in the kingdom of God. Every fish, the big ones, the small ones, the ones that are in between, is important to God. Everyone is important. No matter how tall we are, how short we are, what color we are, whatever we are. We are important. Every soul is important to God. Everyone. And God is the one that meets the needs of His people. You can rest assured, as you and I give Him the things that weigh upon our lives and weigh upon our hearts, that the Father is ready to take them. He's ready to take it. He's ready to take it and solve it. He's ready to take it and bless us. He's ready to take us and solve the situation. Blessing the people, blessing the disciples, even in their disobedience. Just like I know He's done to me. Even in disobedience, the blessings of God have been poured out. Not that we deserve it by far. But to see the hand of God and to see God move like we've never seen Him move before. He blessed them. And even when they came in, had dinner cooking for them. You might say, why did He do that? I may have just a little inkling, maybe. But maybe it was to show them, I love you. Even in your disobedience, I love you. How can you be angry at somebody when somebody gives you food? Really? Seriously? You know, somebody hands you a piece of fried fish and some bread. Hey, look. You read, that's your best friend for life. And Jesus softened their hearts because I know what they were thinking in their hearts. God will bless us and use us even in our disobedience because of His grace and His mercy. But yet we just got to ask forgiveness and let Him use us at will. God will use us if we allow Him to. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise unto you, my Lord. Praise unto you, my Lord. I want you to know how important you are to God. You might be standing there thinking, you know, Lord, I don't know. But I want to let you know you're important to God.
Amen.
Definitely. You're one of the 153 fish.
Come on.
Thank you, Lord, I made it in the 153. You know, we are important to God. And I know this also, that Jesus loves you.
Amen.
My God, Jesus loves us. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You're important to God.
Yes.
And He loves you.
Hallelujah.
He loves you. He's created you.
You.
He loves you. And will do all He can to get us back on track and to do what is right. Get us back on track, Lord. Yes, we've all been a little here and we shouldn't have been. We're a little on this side, we shouldn't have been. And God gets us straight. And as your pastor, we want to say we love you guys. We love you guys.